Amen. Who of you have grown your faith this week? Don't put your hands up. Everyone should have. I just heard someone on the radio say this week, every week's a chance to grow your faith. And I thought, man, that's so true. You know, every day you're alive is a chance to either grow your faith or take away from it. And if you're not sure how to grow your faith, come speak to me afterwards, or one of the leaders will help you. But I'm just started reading the Bible through again. I'm going through the Old Testament, and I'm actually 3 days ahead of my Bible reading program because it's just so good. I sort of read it and I go, no, this is good. I want to read more. And, every day I read it and I go, you know what, God, I believe that Noah built that ship. I believe that when it dried up, they came out of that. I believe that Abraham walked up a mountain with his boy. I believe that Joseph was sold into slavery and then became the leader of Egypt. I believe that. And that grows your faith when you read that stuff. So, yeah, let's get into that. What I want to speak about today is an interesting subject, really. Who of you enjoy waiting? Waiting. Yeah, sorry, is my accent that bad? Waiting. Not wading into the water or anything. Waiting. Who of you enjoy waiting? Anyone? Yeah, not many people enjoy waiting. When I moved to Tauranga 13 years ago, you never waited anywhere on the roads. You just sort of rolled up to the lights and pulled off. But now you have to wait a time. And if there's four cars in front of you, I get quite annoyed and think, I wonder if I should have taken a different direction and maybe I could have avoided those four cars. But of course, you live in a Makarawa, you know what waiting means. When you want to come back or go into town. Waiting is not one of our strengths as human beings, I think. I remember my wife and I were just blessed to be able to build a house. We almost waited 2 years for the whole project. And I remember going up there every day and looking and nothing had happened. And one day we went in, there was a digger there and we took photos and even got a photo with the guy with the digger. It was pretty exciting. And we would go there and see they'd put litter around the site. And Ruth would hold up the litter and we'd take photos of it. That's how excited we were, man. It was pretty exciting. a little bit like when you buy a new car. If any of you are like me, when you buy a new car or a motorbike, I loved what Ash said. He quoted a motorbike scripture this morning. He said, there'll be endless pleasures in your right hand. Anyone ride motorbike? It's all in the right hand. That's a scripture, man. But if any of you have bought a new car and you're a bit like me, the day you're going to get it on Friday and you're driving your old dunger now because it's just a bag of bolts because you've got a new one coming and you are so scared you're going to have an accident. Imagine an accident days before and you can't get your new one. That's horrible, man. Just waiting is not one of our strengths. My wife has got a little problem waiting for gifts. Any of you are gift people? My wife's a little bit into gifts. So I remember when we got married, we've been married just over 11 years. And I remember the first birthday, she said to me the day before, have you bought me a gift? And I played along, no. Oh, you have yet? No. And we went to bed that night. You bought me a gift? No. And she was like, and about 10 o'clock sort of woke me before I went to sleep. Are you sure? You know, is there a gift? And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, she woke up and said, it's my birthday. And I thought, this is how it's going to be. And so I just gave her the gift. And so now I know, I'll make sure I tell her I've got a gift and it's all going to be good. And let me see if I can, so waiting is not one of her strengths. Our daughter is just like her, though. She does online shopping and orders and hits the order button and basically then goes and stands by the door and waiting for the courier. And I mean, she'll check every day and oh, they haven't got it yet and I've tried to track it online. And waiting is not one of her strengths. She's actually gone to the depot to pick up one of her parcels already because waiting is not one of her strengths. Isn't it amazing that the incredible God we serve seems to love making us wait? God's pretty good at it, I think. No wonder, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is near. That was almost 2,000 years ago, and we're still waiting. And you sort of go, what is with that? And so we look at it, and we sort of got to take it in. But I want to read a couple of verses to you, and whenever you don't have much good to say, just read a lot of scripture, then everyone will say you did well, because that's what the Bible is about. So if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, 2 Peter 3, and I'm going to read a couple of verses. And it says here, this is my second letter to you, dear friends. In both of them, I've tried to stimulate wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. Wouldn't that be good at the moment in our current society? Stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago, what our Lord and Savior commanded through the apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth, following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise of Jesus coming again? From before the times, our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forgot that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command. And he brought the earth out of the water and he surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And that same word, the present heavens, by that same word, the present heavens and the earth were stored up for fire in the end. They are being kept for the day of judgment when the ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, my dear friends, and this is what I want to go. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some of us think. No, he's been patient for our sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away and with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives we should live, looking forward to the day and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in flames. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed, what holy and godly lives should we live, looking forward to the day of God's return and hurrying it along? You know, I believe we need to live expectantly for the return of Jesus Christ. We need to be holding out for God to come back. But we do walk a tightrope that we need to live in patience for what's happening now. The Bible says here we need to hurry it along. What are you doing to hurry along the return of Christ? That's talking about going and getting the whole of a Makarova in you, so we have to have an outdoor service, not an indoor service, because they're all here. We need to live with an expectancy of the return of Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll read another two verses there, verse 2 and 3. It says in Hebrews 1, verse 2 and 3, it says, and now in these final days, God has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's glory and expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything by his mighty power with his command. You know, so we're not good at waiting. We want sort of God to do stuff. Or the big thing comes down for me is, do we really have the faith that God upholds everything by his hand? Because then we'll be able to rest in it and wait for what God has brought before us. You know, if we look at a couple of the Bible stories, I'm blown away. Abraham, you know, Abraham waited a long time for the promise of God. God gave him a promise, and some 20 years later, he only had that child. He tried a few of his own ideas along the way, but 20 years. Even when God promised him, the three angels came to visit him, and God promised him that you're going to have a son. He was 86. He got to 100 before that came. He must have thought, man, this is a long wait. If you look at the story of Noah, you know, the Bible says, you know, Noah went to build this ark, but it hadn't rained on the earth yet. And they say it took between 55 and 75 years to build that ark. Mark and them are building a house now. We hope it doesn't take that long, Annette said. But 55 to 75 years of building something when it's never rained before. Man, talk about waiting. What about Jacob? Jacob worked 7 years for his wife and then didn't get the one he wanted. Had to work another 7 years. There's a lot of jokes about 7 years and wives. We won't say any of that. Moses. You know, Moses was about 25 years old, they believe, when he went to inspect what was happening in Israel camp, and he killed the Egyptian soldier. And then, you know the story, he fled into the desert, in the wilderness, and he was 40 years before God did what he said he was going to do and let him rescue Israel. Joseph must be one of my favorite stories in the Bible. You know, you can read the story of Joseph in about two chapters. Well, let me tell you, it didn't happen like that for Joseph. He was sold into slavery. And It wasn't the next day that he was in Potiphar's house. There would have been a process of improving himself. Next thing, he's in Potiphar's house. And then he was back in jail. And then it said he interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. And it said the baker forgot about him. And so there he was again, stuck in jail. That didn't happen overnight. And then he was the leader of the jail. And then he ruled over Egypt. He was equal to Pharaoh. You know, even the story of the boys coming, his brothers coming to get food. They came and got food, went back, and his dad said, "No, you're not going again. This is it, you're not going." So poor Simeon, he was left there. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. He was left there for, I don't know how long it must have been, but they would have bought a fair bit of food. And eventually, Isaac gave in and said, "Okay, you better go back, we need more food." And he was reunited. So there was this time. And every one of these incredible men of God throughout the Bible were happy to wait. How are you and I on the waiting game? How are you and I when we have to wait for the Lord? The biggest difference, I think, you know, I've been thinking about all the old men of God and the miracles they saw, and, you know, Joseph saying, "God, you meant it for bad and harm, but God meant it for good." All those miracles and the incredible things. I mean, can you just imagine building a boat and everyone being saved and sending a bird out, nothing happens. You wait another 40 days and then the boat rests, and then you wait even another 40 days. And then, can you imagine all of that? And you think, what am I missing today? I pray about stuff, stuff doesn't happen, what happens? And I've been thinking, what is the biggest difference between them and us? And I reckon the one difference has to be that they were not in a hurry, they were not busy. You know, today I fear that today, if God appeared in a burning bush, we'd miss it. If we were on our porch like Abraham was, and the three angels were in the distance, I think we would have missed them, because we would be, they'd come and go. You know, honestly, I think that's the biggest difference. You know, Abraham then invited them in. He said, "Come and sit here, I'm going to get you a meal." Well, he didn't get an instant packet of Benny's rice and stick it in the microwave. He had to go and make the bread, get the cow, slaughter the cow. Now, you know, you try and work that out, that'll take a couple of hours. That didn't happen quickly. He had the time to just, you know, we say, "Well, let me see what my diary looks like, and I'll see if I can slot you in one night, and we'll do a meal maybe in 3 weeks." The biggest difference between the mighty men of God and the miracles that they saw was that they weren't as busy as we are. And there's so much competition for our attention nowadays that we cannot wait for anything. We get annoyed when we need to wait. You know, how long's the queue? No, I'm not going to go in there, and we'll leave, because there's so much competition for our time and our attention. I honestly think we'd miss God if we were in that place right now. Isaiah 55 says that God's ways are so much higher than our ways. The Bible says, though, and this is one of the main verses I'll speak about today, in Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength." You know, no wonder as Christians we are maybe not as strong as we should be, and we're weak because we haven't waited on the Lord. And then together with that, Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. A lot of times as Christians we look like we've been eating a lemon. We should be the most excited, most joyous people on the earth. Come on, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what more could be that important to us? And we need to realize that when you wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to refocus and change everything that you are living and doing in your life. You know what's amazing? In Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith, it goes and it tells you the story of all those people I've mentioned, Moses and Noah and Abraham, and it talks about all of them. And then listen to what it says in verse 13, and I only noticed this when I was preparing this for the first time. "All of these died still believing what God had promised to them. They did not receive what was promised." And I went, but that's crazy. You know, Abraham was promised a land and he got it, and Moses was promised to save, and he did. But you know what? That's not what they're talking about. They were talking about the expectation of Jesus Christ returning and them being united with God. That said, all of these died still believing what God had promised to them. I thought, man, but they've got it. But no, they haven't. And how much do we live our lives based on, "Oh, I got the house, man. Yeah, we're good. We're okay now. Well, hang on, there still should be a promise in our hearts that we are waiting for, that God's going to return and we're going to be with Christ face to face, living there. That's what we should be living for. And so this morning, as I wrap up and we bring the service to a close, I want to just challenge you, how are you in your heart as far as waiting for the return of Christ? How are you as far as waiting goes? Or are you too scared to be alone with your own thoughts? Are you just so busy, let me entertain myself, let me keep my mind going, let me be busy? When last have you stopped? And that's why I love church, because there's not much of a distraction for you here unless you let yourself be distracted. But all we go, hang on, we're going to just praise and worship the Lord for a while. I'm scared that for many of us, that's the most we've done this week, just time before God. And we need to make sure we change that, because we need to live a life where we are waiting on God for our strength. And then the joy of the Lord will fill us. And then we'll go out and make a difference. We all try and do it the other way around. We want to make a difference. How can we do this? And we want to do programs and all of this stuff. That is great. But unless you get the first part right, you're not going to get the second part right. So why don't you stand with me quickly? And I'm just going to pray and then I'll hand back over. God, I want to thank you this morning that you are patient. And while to us it may seem that you're being slow to deliver on your promises, it's because you are patient and you do not want one person to perish or die. God, and this morning we build up our faith that if we wait on you, you will renew our strength and you'll fill us with the joy of the Lord. And God, it's our desire this morning that we'd be found waiting in expectation of your return. God, that we'd live lives that are holy and just and doing what you want us to do, that we would hurry up the day of your return. God, we love you and we thank you that you first loved us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.